If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a real person who wrote what he saw and what he witnessed. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by real men about real life events. Beginning with verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Son, for Jesus, your Son, who came for us, who sacrificed himself for us, willingly going to the cross, to pay the price for all our sins, to restore our broken relationship with you for eternity. Thank you. Open our hearts and minds today to your instruction, that which you have for us from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I want to begin a short series about loving your church. I love my church. Now, as we approach the year 2020, and I can't believe it's almost August already, and 2020 is going to come before we know it. It's going to come right on in. And as we move toward the year 2020, the leadership, with input from you, the congregation, has put together this vision statement. We will personally share and demonstrate the love of Jesus so that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. We want to be in the community serving, and we as individuals want to serve, and we want to love people so that everyone has the opportunity to hear the message of Jesus and be saved. This statement summarizes God's purpose for the church. The reason why God established the church in the first place. It is the Great Commission that Jesus left us in Matthew 28. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you are a believer, that you have confessed Jesus as Lord of your life, and you have been baptized into Christ, you have been buried with Christ in baptism, raised into new life, you are in Christ. And so this verse is for you. You are a new creation. Behold, the new has come. The old is past. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Thank you very much. I think we're all thankful for that. That because of Jesus and the sacrifice, God will not hold our trespasses against us. What a benefit. And entrusting to you, entrusting to me, the message of reconciliation. We have been entrusted. What have we done with that which we have been entrusted? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. And so we are called to share and demonstrate the love of Jesus in such a way that everyone within reach, your neighbor, coworker, your friends, your family members, our community, those around us, that they have the opportunity to also be saved as we are ambassadors. Now, when it comes to pursuing this vision, the leadership has embraced four core values from the Scriptures. The first one is this: we are disciple makers. If we're going to be disciple makers, we need to claim it and proclaim it that we are disciple makers, and we've got to get to work and be disciple makers. It's the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus, before He left, gave the marching orders. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The second core value is this: that we will trust God's Word as truth, as it's being shoved aside in our country, as churches have ceased to hold this high as the Word of God. We will trust God's Word as truth, the absolute truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And third, we will rejoice in growth. In Acts 2, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And we want to celebrate the victories. We need to celebrate those who are being saved. We want to rejoice in growth, for it represents saved lives for eternity. And we will embrace growth and the changes that it makes and the responsibilities that it gives us. And fourth, we will strive for excellence, for everything that we do in word or deed is for the Lord our God, and He is deserving of our best, and so we will strive to give Him our best in all that we do. Now, as a strategy is being developed for accomplishing this vision, there are four C's that are being pursued. The first is communication, that we need to communicate to those in our community that we are here and what we're about, and we're here to serve you, and we're here for you, and we're here for each other, and we need to do a better job of communicating this. And so we have a team working and developing a strategy for communicating to the community that we are here. The second C is connection. You, as a guest, when you come to our church, we want to make sure that someone connects with you, that you don't come in and be alone. We want you to meet others and form relationships. And that takes us to the third C, community. For we need to develop, as we grow larger, we grow smaller in community through small groups and through Bible studies and through mentorships and discipleship. And the fourth C is commitment. And we are calling you to commitment. So many are not committed to the Lord and His church. And so we are calling everyone that calls this church home to a greater level of commitment, to a higher level of commitment, that you are in, that you are committed to the Lord and His church and His purposes. That one of the biggest issues of the church in America today is a lack of commitment. In fact, studies have been done, surveys of Americans, and they've come to the conclusion that the largest group, now we have all these different groups who call themselves Christians, and We came out of the restoration movement that said, why do we have all these groups? Let's just be united in following Christ. Let's just use the Bible as our rule and our guide, the Word of God as truth. We'll let it guide us and we'll just wear the name Christ instead of having all these different denominations that divide us. But we still have all these groups. And if in this survey, if you were to indicate the group that you're a part of, some might mark Church of Christ. Some might mark Christian. We would fall into that Church of Christ / Christian. I know that's confusing, isn't it? It is confusing. So many different groups. Which one am I a part of? But the largest group of all has been determined as the group that would call themselves none. I believe in Jesus. I believe that there's a God. But I am going to mark none because I have no church affiliation. For people in America are running from the church. Perhaps it's because Jesus is not in those churches. Thousands of churches have closed their doors over the recent years. Maybe it's because Jesus wasn't there. That we tend to become so in love with us, we love our church, but it's more we love the things in our church and the way we do church, and we love what we do here, and what we do here becomes our God over the God of creation. And we love this more than we love Jesus. And we love this more than we love God. And so we'd rather do this than go and do what He's called us to do, to follow Him the hard road of sacrifice. Well, let me tell you why I love Gethsemane Church of Christ. For more than 150 years, this has been a church that promotes Jesus and the Word of God as absolute truth. And as long as there is breath in this room, the people of this church will hold this Word with high regard and as truth. Now today, as we focus on following Jesus, and we love His church, the church that He established, I want to focus on the first thing that Jesus did in fulfilling His purpose. What was the first thing that Jesus did as He began His ministry on this earth? He was baptized by John. For 30 years, as far as we know, he was a carpenter for 30 years. And then it was time for Him to go down that road that led to the cross. And He went to see John the Baptizer, who was in the Jordan River, because there was plenty of water. Now, you might be new to our church and you're not sure what's up here behind this big hole in the wall. This is a pool of water. It's a baptistry. And you might come from a church background that doesn't have a baptistry, or they don't baptize in that church by immersion. John the Baptizer was in the Jordan River. There was plenty of water because in the New Testament baptism, and you go all the way to the original language, was always by immersion. And Jesus shows up. John's baptizing people by the hundreds. They're coming to Him. They are repentant. They're confessing their sin. And John is baptizing them in the Jordan River. When Jesus shows up and said, I'm next. And John realizes who it is. He had talked about Jesus coming. He said, there's one coming whose sandals I am not even worthy to untie. And He shows up. John, baptize me. I'm next. Now, what would you do? What would you say? Maybe it's the same thing you would say to your wife when she says, we're lost, we need to stop for directions. No, I'm not going to do it. Maybe John was saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. John, you're going to baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. So John, when Jesus makes a request, you better be obedient. John baptizes Jesus. I wonder if he would have said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, he baptized Jesus. And when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came down upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, that sin entered the world through a man, through Adam. And Jesus came to be the man through which sin would be taken away, and a path of righteousness would be paved, to fulfill the righteousness that is given by God and not earned or not achieved by our own. That he came to fulfill the righteousness and pave the way for you and me to receive the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became our sin on the cross so that we might become the righteousness of God. And here Jesus came to begin that ministry, that pathway that led through the cross. Have you ever watched a road being paved? I know some of you watched 360 from the time it was a two-lane, maybe a dirt road, and it was paved and became a four-lane road. When I was a kid, I remember my street that I grew up on was a gravel road, and I remember sitting out there watching them pave that road. And then some of the new neighborhoods that went in, my friend and I, we would go watch the bulldozer as it was breaking the dirt and smoothing out a roadway for a future road. It was paving the way. And one day we were out there, and the bulldozer had already cleared a little bit, and it was smoothing things out, and it was coming down through that path, and a great big 6-foot black snake was crossing the road, and the bulldozer was coming, and that snake and bulldozer, they were going to meet. And we thought, this is going to be cool. I wonder what's going to happen. And I'm telling you, I think that snake stood straight up. And then it fell back and it slithered away as quickly as it could because it was no match for that bulldozer coming through there. And there was a snake in the garden that is no match for the one who came to pave the way for righteousness. And Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. And as we follow Jesus and we see how he began his journey of obedience to his Father's purpose in him, let's consider three reasons why Jesus was baptized. First of all, he was baptized to mark a turning point in his life. That up until this point, he was a carpenter. And now he's becoming the Messiah, the Savior that he was born to be. He came to launch his ministry by first being baptized by John. And then he had an encounter after fasting for 40 days. He had an encounter with Satan himself, who tried to tempt him. And he launched his ministry, making a major change in his life. And there was a day when you accepted the message of Jesus and you said, I believe. And you were buried in baptism. And perhaps you were staking your claim to a change in your life. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And perhaps you can point back to that day and say, yes, that was me. I was walking with fools. Yes, I needed to make some big changes in my life, where I was hanging out, who I was hanging out with. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So there was a time in your life, and I pray that you made a change. And maybe you need to look at your life now and say, are there some changes I need to make today? Am I walking this path of righteousness that Jesus paved, or am I living my life my way? The way I want to live life. What is the word for change? Repent. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Baptism is the point at which a believer puts a stake in the ground and is making a change, saying, I am making a change. And maybe for you today, you need to make a change again and recommit. Why was Jesus baptized? To mark a turning point in His life. What else? To make a public expression of His commitment to God. To make a public expression of His commitment to God. And we have ceremonies all the time, as I mentioned earlier. We have ceremonies for graduation. We have ceremonies for those who join the military. We have wedding ceremonies. You know, to get married in Virginia, you just have to get the license. And you have to have somebody who's official say, do you, and then sign the papers. And you can be married in 10 seconds. It's all 10 seconds. So why do preachers drag it out so long? So the father of the bride is getting his money's worth. That's why. Because we hold it in such high regard. A relationship established by God as a picture of Christ's relationship to the church. Baptism is the wedding ring of our faith. It's the wedding ring of our faith. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many want to change the definition of ice. That's the Greek word ice for for there. They want to say it's because of. You repent, you be baptized because of the forgiveness of sins that you received. Look at Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. There are three Greek words in there, all translated for. And the third one is the same one used in Acts 2:38. For this is my blood, which is poured out. Jesus' blood is poured out in order to provide the forgiveness of sins. What else is provided? 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put His seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, have you ever seen a person who was married refuse to wear their wedding ring or refuse to let people know they're married? Many like dating Jesus or hanging out with Jesus. But as far as committing to being all in, not so much. Jesus walked 75 miles to be baptized of John. And I know people who won't walk 75 feet to be baptized by immersion. And the third reason, Jesus was baptized as a demonstration of humility. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He was asking them to do something that He had done. He would never ask us to do anything that He hadn't done Himself. But He had excuses He could have used. He could have said, you know, if I go be baptized of John, then people will think I've sinned. And that'd mess up a lot of things. Or they might laugh at me and say, I thought you were the Son of God. Why do you need to be baptized? Now, there are two primary reasons why people don't get baptized. The first one is pride. What if I look dumb? I look silly. I look like a rookie. I've been following Jesus for years, but I've never been baptized by immersion because no one ever explained it to me that way. Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized. Kyle Eidelman shares of Southeast Christian Church that an 80-some-year-old man walked the aisle. He said, "I'm a retired Presbyterian minister, and I've never been baptized by immersion. Would you baptize me?" And Kyle said, "Absolutely." That took courage and humility for a man in his 80s to say, "I was a Presbyterian pastor for all these years, and I've never been baptized by immersion." And the second reason is perfection. "You don't know the things I've done. I'm not good enough to be baptized. Oh, you don't know how bad I've been." But who did Jesus come for? Sinners. The sick. And you may never get it together without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not a get out of hell free card. It's a step of faith declaring a turning point in your life. Going public by acknowledging your faith in Christ and showing humility, for we are all united. We are all one in the baptistry. Acts 22:16. "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I wanted to remember this name, but it was a hard name. Kupferschmid. Kupferschmid. I don't know how names get created, but somebody was given the last name Kupferschmid. Robert Kupferschmid. 81 years old. He was flying on a Cessna 172 with a friend of his. His friend was the pilot. He was the passenger. His friend was Wesley Sickle. This was June 17, 1998. And the pilot fell over and died right there in the plane, in the air. And Robert, as the plane was starting to decline in a panic, pulled his friend off of the, I guess you call it the stick, and he pulled back on the steering wheel, the yoke, whatever you call that. Some of them are a wheel. Some of them are a stick. Pulled it back, got the plane up there, leveled out, flying. And he called on the radio, "Help! Somebody help me! My pilot just died, and I don't know how to fly this plane. I need help." Two guys, two pilots were in the air in their Cessnas, and they radioed back, "It's going to be okay. You can do this. We'll give you instruction. We're going to be right with you." And they stayed close to him. And they gave him a quick lesson on flying. Now, keeping the plane in the air was the easy part. The landing was going to be the tough part. They guided him every step of the way, gave him a quick lesson, instructions. "You can do this." They all circled three times before making that final approach to the nearest runway at an airport called Comfort Mountain. What a name. I mean, certainly applicable. He needed some comfort as he was trying to land this plane. And after the third time of circling the runway, "Okay, we're going in. There were emergency personnel there. You can do this." They guided him all the way down, all the way to the runway. And the plane hit the runway, and it said it tilted over to the point that the nose of the plane bounced a few times on the runway before the tail came back down, and it skidded off into the grass. And Robert was okay. He landed the plane. He made it because he followed the instructions that were given. Now, the Heavenly Father, through Jesus, has provided the way for us to have a smooth landing. And He's given us instructions for following Him. And He's given us instructions as His church. So we ought to be about following the instructions. Heavenly Father, this is easy. This doesn't take much sacrifice for us to get up and come to church, to sing, worship. The things that we do here are easy, though so many forsake it. And You've called us to service and sacrifice. You've called us to something more than this. But we love this because it's easy. But Father, help us to love what You love. Help us to love Jesus and to follow Jesus to that which is difficult and hard and that which we can't do without You on our own. So move us as a church to fulfill the purpose and the vision You've given us. And Father, if there is one here today who has not embraced the cross, has not surrendered their life to You in baptism, confessing Jesus as Lord, proclaiming His death and His burial and resurrection, I pray that You give them the courage to walk 75 steps. Jesus walked 75 miles. Give them the courage to walk 75 steps today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.